This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
This is the sick episode of iFanboy.com. It's number 64. Brought to you by Geek Armor. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 64. As you were...
Huh? coming to you from our deathbed.
As you were led to believe in the opening teaser, not one, not two, but three of the iFanboy faculty have been laid to waste this week.
Oh, God. It's like the plague ripped through us.
What? No more orgies.
So, what?
No more iFanboy orgies.
Oh,
now it got weird.
Yeah, it did. Because my next thing, I was going to mention how this is all Connor's fault. He's the originator.
Well, I'm saying.
He's the originator of the germ, but it weren't like that. It weren't like that at all.
I apologize.
Listen, folks, let's introduce ourselves, lest there's someone who hasn't been driven away yet who doesn't know us. I'm Josh, and I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Connor.
Hello.
And we're from iFanboy.com. We like the comics, so we read a lot of them. And then every week, one of us will pick the best one that we read that week and write about it on the site, iFanboy.com. I just plugged the hell out of that. Then we come here and we do a podcast on it. Normally, we sound good and we are articulate. Not so much this week.
Not so much.
We're a little fuzzy-headed. And you may have noticed that this week that we started a video podcast, and we're going to talk more about that later. But just so you know, while we were on the site all day Wednesday, and everyone was like, "Hey, thanks," we were all dying.
Yep.
I mean, like, I had 101 fever that day, and they're like, "Congratulations!" And I'm like, "Please kill me, please kill."
Wednesday was probably the cumulative worst day across the three of us.
All that video did was remind me about what it felt like to be healthy.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, we're going to talk about that later, but before we're going to try to mute out the coughs too. But before we get to it, we want to make sure we warn everybody, if you haven't read your books yet, we're going to talk about the books from this last week, so there would probably be spoilers if you haven't read them, and we don't want to wreck that. So if you haven't read your books, just come back a little later.
Oh, really? Spoilers, you say? Shocking.
I'm sorry.
You're a jerk.
Why don't you fill them in on what happened?
Wednesday, Ron and I were out on the town.
In our sickened state.
Because that's the best thing to do when a couple of guys are sick. Hit New York City.
Go out of the town. Yeah. Especially when one of them's got the pick of the week to write.
Big mistake.
And we got home, each of us, about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Separate homes. Let's be close.
Separate homes. About midnight, 1 o'clock. And I got home midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Ron irons me, and I ask him if he's writing the pick of the week. And he goes, yeah, it's really tough. And he said,
I can't decide. I said, shit happened in these books.
Proceeds to rattle off the spoilers and endings for each book he's read. I haven't opened a single comic yet. Ruin the end of Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man, 52.
That's great when you're sick and you laugh and you cough.
And I couldn't stop them because they came like bullets, like boom, 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 boom.
I didn't even think of that. I just assumed you had read them already.
Because
I just had my mouth open staring at the computer like, great, don't need to read the comics. Going to bed.
You owe him $20.
I do. I'm sorry.
You and Kirkman.
Well, it was really hard for me to pick, and I thought maybe he could chime in and help me out. But it was supposed to be a light week, and I ended up getting about 10 books. But like in freaking like more than half of them, shit happened. Shit went down this week. Like stuff happened.
It was adventurous.
It was.
I had like 4 books to get, and I ended up buying a little more than that. But it was true that in every one of them, I was like, oh, it was a very satisfying week.
It was. It was a good meal worth of comics. But I was trying to decide between, 52 and Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes and Ultimate X-Men and The Spirit and Green Lantern and all these great books. And ultimately, pun intended, Ultimate X-Men number 78 came out on top. And the reason why is because if for those, people who have been listening or reading, or I don't even know if how they would know this, but I've been very pro Ultimate X-Men very recently. Up for the past 75 issues or so, I've been generally anti Ultimate X-Men.
1 through 75, not so much.
This is Ron. He was against it for 6 years, but bought everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
I refuse to support this in any other way but financially.
It had an excellent title. I'm contractually obligated.
Where's that contract you signed? I want to check the fine print.
So this is the last issue of a four issue arc by Robert Kirkman, who I got to give credit for, wrote a kick ass story.
He's only done 2 storylines, but I think he's been the best writer.
They've been great, yeah. And
I actually bought this one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I don't buy this book.
Right? No, I know.
So I thought, well, why not come in on issue 78 at the end of a 4-part story.
On the last issue.
Yeah. You know what? I followed it, though, because of the podcast before. You guys had talked about at the end of the last issue, Xavier was like, I love Jean, and we talked about how creepy that was. And then we talked about Cable having Wolverine claws before.
And Rogue getting her arm ripped off.
Hey, we do a show and some people listen to it. Maybe I should read it. Yeah. And I can...
Also, you had a fever, so you might not have been your right mind.
I was like, I've heard of this.
I'll buy this.
I also got some Archies. And I got
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I bought
Betty and Veronica was awesome this week.
I bought Blue Beetle.
Anyway, so why would you do that?
I didn't. That's ridiculous.
I know. So before we get into the story, I just want to talk briefly about the art by Ben Oliver.
Fantastic.
Unbelievably awesome.
He's good.
I mean, and one of my big qualms about this series for the past 75 issues has been the artistic teams have been too inconsistent. There have been too many writers, too many artists on the book, off the book, on the book, off the book. You never really got a real feel for it. And, I mean, I think these are the first 4 issues he's done in this title, but he can never leave. I mean, he nailed it.
He's kind of like a sketchy John Cassaday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was great. It was awesome. I mean, and now I want to go dig up everything else he's done because it looks awesome.
You know what I really liked is the way that he does anatomy. Everybody looks sort of bulky and muscular, but it's not like, say, like Simon Bisley or what a weird one to pick out. Diodato, but like where they're like everybody's way overly super muscled.
Yeah.
It's just got a little bit of a smoother real life edge to it. It's nice.
Yeah. And one interesting note that if you flip through this page, first off the second and third two page splash page was just awesome of the fight. Like he really got across the and this is I think partially combination of the art and the writing coming together. I mean, this fight was brutal, and you felt. I mean, and it went by really quick, but you felt every moment almost. And there are a lot of pages where there's just no text.
Yeah,
a lot of silent pages, which are really really cool. And then getting into the story,
and there's
like,
4 pages in the middle which just had nothing to do with it at all. Oh wait, that's an ad.
Yeah,
sorry.
Anyway, at least it didn't have a cardboard insert.
I did.
So no e-music
this
time. So no e-music thing.
I do.
Oh, I don't.
Son of
I don't have
bitch.
One.
Really?
Oh. You have one?
I'm looking at
you
Johnny Cash
insert?
Right now.
You're
I have
kidding
nothing.
Me. In Ultimate X-Men
yeah,
number 78?
I got that and the 4-page other insert.
Oh, wow. You rolled the dice and lost.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway,
it's funny. It's an ad for Civil War, which I already bought last week. Great.
So,
I'm sorry, I threw you off.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm sick.
We're thrown off just in general, yeah. So don't worry. So it ties into the story, which, you know, we had mentioned at the end of the last issue. They were basically Cable, who is actually Wolverine from the future, comes back to kill Professor Xavier and kidnaps Jean Grey to try to lure the professor out. And there's a big fight in the Arctic, and Cyclops was supposed to stay back with Professor Xavier to protect him in case things didn't go well at the fight. But they decided to join the fray, and as they're leaving, Professor Xavier in the last issue revealed that he's in love with Jean Grey. So that's where the issue starts. And for anybody who's bitched and moaned about Cyclops not being badass or anything, he's badass in this issue.
I would like to point out that I never bitched about not being badass. I giggled and reveled at it.
All right, true, okay.
I thought it was really funny that you like such a pansy.
He's a leader.
No, he's not a pansy. He's a Mr. Fun Stuffer.
Anyway.
That's just about enough of that, mister.
So from, you know, he jumps out of the Blackbird. You know,
which is very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Confidently just, you know, tells, you know, the professor to tell Storm to save him, and, you know, and he kicks ass in the fight. I mean, when Cable threw the ninja star at him and cracked his visor in half, it was hardcore. It was a brutal fight, you know. It was really...
This is the first time Cable's ever been interesting.
Yeah, well, possibly.
I'm sorry, it is.
Anyway, so...
I know nothing about Cable.
Big fight, and then eventually it ends, and here's the spoilers, that it ends with a big explosion, and looks like Professor Xavier's dead. Not having a good year at all. Which, is kind of true to the original vision of the original X-Men, in that Professor Xavier dies several times in the past 40 years, and always comes back. So I can only assume he's going to come back in this series as well. But I thought they handled it really well. Like, you really got the emotion of the reactions of the team.
Has he never died in this book?
This is the first
time. It's funny because I'm just like, oh, come on, they must have been through this before. I forget it's Ultimate.
But then at the same time, though, it's Ultimate, and like we said, shit happens. Like, the Beast died in the beginning of the run, and he's still dead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and like...
He might be coming back.
Yeah, maybe. But
that that's a whole show.
But
I don't want to derail the conversation, but I was just leafing through the back of the book while you were talking, and Ben Oliver is not drawing the next issue.
Ah! Bad move.
Bulp.
Who's drawing the next issue?
Yannick Paquette.
I don't like Yannick Paquette.
Well, Yannick. It's about Jean Grey being sad, to judge from the cover.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, but this was just awesome, and it was just great.
I have a couple of ultimate questions.
Okay.
If I may, as I'll play the noob here. It's not a hard part. Ultimate X-Men, weren't they originally supposed to be for, like, younger readers?
I think the ultimate line was
they've forgotten about that.
I think they threw that out the window.
They got away from it when they realized there are no all young readers.
Which is probably very smart. And the ones, you know what, the kids who are reading, they're probably mature enough to deal. But this is not youth-oriented.
Oh, this is not for kids. No,
aren't these supposed to be like the younger X-Men? Because...
It's not that they're not for kids, it's just not that it's not directed at the kids. I mean, kids could read it.
Well, it's got mature themes.
Well, sure.
Dude, there's a bloody burned-up skeleton at the end.
So are. I mean, you see, any popular movie these days is going to be full of blood and guts.
There are skeletons in Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's the most grisly scene ever, and they ignore it.
That scene haunted me for years, by the way, like from kindergarten until like fifth grade.
I would
look away.
I love the idea of the droid very like solemnly putting the body, just sort of flipping the bodies on the fire.
Jawa bodies on the fire.
And it's never spoken of again.
Yeah, I know.
Like there's like one scene, Luke looks away wistfully, and it's like, all right, so where are we going? And that's it. It's never mentioned again.
Time for adventure.
Oh, God. So,
Jim Lee, sit down.
Sorry. But you're right. When the book started off, they were supposed to be younger X-Men. All the X-Men were supposed to be in their teens. Wolverine's supposed
to be.
They still
are. I mean, Bobby and Rogue.
The problem is they're not drawn that way. They're drawn like adults.
Look at Cyclops. Well, Wolverine is older than me.
Yeah, no. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
He's getting old.
It looks more.
I don't look that old. I don't look like any kind of man. He looks like Tom Cruise out of that thing.
Yeah, that's true.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. So whatever. So
But they're still referred to that way. A few issues ago, they reiterated the fact that Jean's 19 and she's just not drawn that way. Neither is Cyclops.
Yeah. She's drawn hot.
But it's a 19-year-olds can be hot.
Sorry. Anyway. So it was good. But the
they often are.
So the other Ultimate book that was in the running was Ultimate Spider-Man number 104.
Thank God that's over.
Which is part 8 of the Clone Saga.
Part 8!
It's over.
Now.
I thought it ended on a high note. I thought it pulled
it
off.
Two parts too many.
It pulled it off at the end. It's a saga. A saga can't be three issues.
I said two parts too many.
Six, saga six. Can't be six issues.
What's the saga cutoff?
Eight.
All right.
I just made that up.
No one knew that. Like, no one knew you were just pulling out of your ass. Connor, you did not like the Clone Saga.
No, I didn't. I thought the story was full of humongous holes. I thought the fact that we all predicted how it was going to go in the first issue was a bad sign. And,
I don't remember predicting that.
Don't you remember when all the Peter's dad showed up and Gwen Stacy showed up and we all sat around with Augie on the show and said that they were all going to be clones of Peter? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're talking about the Clone Saga for half the year.
You know, but like, I didn't mind. Like, I thought it ended well. I thought it was interesting enough. It brought the character somewhere else, as Ron was so gleefully pointing out to us earlier. Not in this show, but just earlier in general. You know, him and Mary Jane got back together, which is going to create tension with him and Kitty.
Blows.
Which I do have to lament. Which I do have to lament. I did like the Peter Kitty relationship, but this could be triangle. This could be a good direction to take it in. You know.
Unless they just shunt Kitty off and never dealt with again.
Shunt.
What if Kitty... Yeah, but that's not like Bendis to do.
Look, it's a good Bendis book. You get good scenes. There's a lot of good dialogue in it. The problem is things don't make sense. I mean, why is the Peter Parker dad clone all of a sudden rapidly aging and dying?
I hadn't been able to figure that out.
The other clones don't do that, too.
Yeah, we don't really
know. He's got rubbery face. He's like, hey, kid. Let me just sit down here.
Taken on its own, that scene is a very, very emotional scene. But the problem is, you read the scene and you go, wait, why are the other clones all of a sudden rapidly aging?
Yeah.
I mean, why? It doesn't.
Because he was already. I don't know.
Old people should just die.
I'm no geneticist.
Yeah.
So whatever's going to follow here is going to be useless.
Right, but it seemed plausible. It seems okay. Yeah, he's cloned. I don't know, because the page when Peter and Mary Jane hug was worth it. It made it all worth it.
I also like the fact that and I think it's kind of creepy that clone female Spider Girl is flying around out there.
That's awesome. I love the fact that she's out there. Yeah, that's so cool.
And it's just enough to make you feel a little uncomfortable. But it's a girl, and it's.
And he was kind of attracted to her in the beginning.
Was he?
Well, she, you know.
That's okay,
I'm not going to say it.
Is that
okay?
No, it's not okay.
I think it might be. As long as you know.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
I just followed it to a logical conclusion, and I decided it was not okay.
It's not.
But I did like – I mean, I liked the Nick Fury arguing with the FBI guy. I thought that was funny.
Well, that's what I mean. There's good scenes. There's good dialogue.
Look at the cover of the next issue on the last page.
That looks good. I'm there for that issue.
They're not going to let it go.
I wish Bendis would write the Fantastic Four, the Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
he does
really
a really good,
good
Fantastic Four. I would buy that book.
Yeah. Another great two-page splash page spread where the Peter girl and normal Peter are punching Doc Ock.
I hate two-page splashes.
Oh, I love them.
What a waste of space.
No, it's fun. It's exciting. Nah. It's a crescendo of action. I do not like the Beast MJ. She looks like she belongs in Bone. As one of the rat creatures, doesn't she?
Yeah, I can
see
that.
The design, yeah.
Maybe it was a tribute to that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was good. I thought it ended on a high note.
Bah.
I was shaky about it from the start, but it ended on a high note.
Holes you could drive a truck through.
Didn't care.
Okay. So sticking with the Marvel.
I'm so glad it's over.
The other book I was curious about that was in the running was a bit of a surprise to you guys. Well, yeah, I think to both of you. Was that it was this close. Honestly, it was a last-minute decision. I almost went with Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes number 50.
I would have fallen out of my chair.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes number 5.
Number 5?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Number 50. They've been pumping that out.
I know.
These come out every week, I think.
I think they're bi-weekly, to be honest with you.
Okay, $4 a book, that's no small thing. And the fact that this guy can't draw.
The art's not that bad. You guys don't have the art, but
I don't buy it, but I look at Josh's copy, and it's not good.
And I keep buying it because, like, really the story and the setting and everything is really – it is good enough for me to keep buying it, and I've really enjoyed it because this is, like, a great – let me just give people who haven't been reading it – I don't think a lot of people are reading it – the summary. Basically, this takes a look at the time of the Avengers – right after the Vision sort of was created and joined the team, he was a villain before that. He was created by Ultron. And Captain America took off, and they put Hank Pym, who was Goliath at the time, who seemed to be a perfectly capable and trustworthy, stable human being, and they put him in charge of the team. And then this explores what happens then because he goes crazy.
Couldn't handle it? Couldn't hack it?
He couldn't hack it. And he goes kind of nuts because he's got all this responsibility. And then he apparently he becomes Yellow Jacket.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Now the thing is that I didn't read these issues. I've never read this original arc and the original issues back in the 60s and 70s. So I don't know exactly how it happened. I've always been very curious because I love the Yellow Jack.
I think it's later.
Yellow Jacket character.
Later in the 60s.
Yeah, I think it might even be
early 80s.
Maybe. I gotta go back and look it up and look. But the thing, no, Vision was around. Vision was around earlier than that. But
well, the Yellow Jacket thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, so I don't know how it went down. But it's just like, and so I want to go back and read these issues to see kind of how close it is, because this is kind of like a retelling of it. But Joe Casey nailed these scenes like so well, because you've got freaking Hank Pym there in a new costume, acting all gruff and weird, claiming he killed Hank Pym, and you've got like Hawkeye and Wasp and Black Panther. Yeah,
let me set the scene. Basically, everybody is in Avengers Mansion, and there's all this tension with the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent there, and they're all there, and they're like, well, where's Hank? And then Jarvis comes and he's like, you should come into the other room, or I think it was something like that. And they go in, and all the Avengers are standing around, and all the Avengers in this case includes Janet, the Wasp, and Black Panther, and Hawkeye, and Vision, and they're all standing around, and there's what to them is clearly Hank Pym dressed up in a new costume, and he's just like, y'all should let me on the team. I'm the best there is. And they're all like, but we know you.
And you're founded the team.
And they're not saying it. And then the S.H.I.E.L.D. woman who's there says that they should let him sort of go along with it.
So he's had this mental schism.
Yes.
And they have to just go along with it.
Yeah. Which, you know, unsettles Janet. And she gets unhappy.
I would imagine it would.
Yeah. And it's just about the tension around that and how they deal with it. It's fun.
And he nailed it so great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I mean, like, I felt, you know, reading it, I felt, you know, like awkwardly embarrassed for them.
Uh-huh.
Because they, you know, like, it was just, it was great. It was fantastic.
It feels like those early Avengers, those very earliest Avengers comics I ever read.
Yeah.
But not in a retro way.
Yeah, exactly.
It just captures that tone while doing it. I don't want to say it's a modern retelling. It's just
a retelling.
It's a capable retelling, and it works really well.
Honestly, I think it might be one of the best written things I've seen Joe Casey do. I mean, because it works within continuity, it works within the story and the characters, but it's like it really got the scenes across. I mean, like every scene was tension filled in this issue.
Yeah,
I would have loved if this had been done by a capable artist, and I would have bought it.
Yeah, like George Perez.
Anybody who can draw anatomy or scale.
All right, whatever.
Everybody has – basically my issue with it, and Connor's seen it, is that everybody in it has like sort of really wide waists and torsos and sort of shortish legs. And like you know the Hawkeye boots, which are the same as the Captain America boots?
Yeah.
They draw them in such a way that the overhangy part is gigantic. Yeah. Like they look like huge clanging bells. And they go down right to the foot, which is just...
You know, we're going to find out later this guy's like 85 years old.
You know what? I thought that. And I tried to look him up, but I don't think he is. His name is Will Rosado.
Like, or half like, blind.
It's like some, you know, like comeback kid story.
We're all going to feel terrible.
I know. Exactly. I know that's what's going to happen is that I'm going to get an email. It's going to be like, this is the guy, and you know...
And he's overcome glaucoma.
Yeah, I know.
And we're all going to have to cry into our beers.
You know what, though? He is telling the story, and he's getting it across.
I think it's fine. I think it's capable. I think it's doing a fine job.
See, for me, the art is very...
No Jim Lee.
It's a big deal. I have to really like the art to like the comic.
Right,
if I don't like the art, I can't like it.
Yeah, no, I know. But I don't think it's that bad.
The Wasp looks pregnant in some of these shots.
Yeah, I know. I did think that the same thing. I'm like, oh, she's kind of bulky.
If you don't buy this book, if you really liked the Avengers sort of in the 80s, this might be fun to read. But if you don't and you're in the shop, pick it up and flip through it and seriously, take a look at these and tell us what you think on the threads if you what you think of this art. Cause
I mean, honestly, the art is no worse than the art in 52.
I disagree.
That's totally wrong.
Across the board. Oh, there was some awful.
The 52 art may be boring, but it's not. It's not out of scale and out of proportion. Yeah. And
well, speaking of 52, that was the big. I didn't have to spoil that issue.
Wait a minute. We actually talk about DC on this podcast sometimes.
It's amazing. I thought this was the Marvel podcast.
It's turning into it, and we don't even like them that much.
It happens to be what's going on.
I don't want any more emails.
Anyway, so 52, the big reveal.
Apparently, it was on the cover, which I didn't notice.
I didn't even notice when I bought one.
Oh, I noticed when I picked it up immediately.
How do they how do they do a weekly book where every week for the past month or so there's been something really interesting that happened?
because we're in Act 3.
It's good times.
So, it's happening.
Well, let me ask it's you, happening. Did you feel a little let down?
Yes.
No, I loved it.
Totally let down.
I loved it. I thought the explanation was awesome. I thought it was great. I thought it made sense. I thought it was great.
This issue was all about letting me down.
You know what? I'll split it up. The Booster Gold thing didn't let me down.
The other
Animal
thing.
Man.
The Animal Man. I was like, one issue?
Apparently nobody dies in 52.
No shit.
Because, you know, now
is one
the,
issue.
The Question, Animal Man, who, you know.
Okay, I'll go right through it. The Question not dying, I'm okay with that. I really like him. I was like, wait a minute, I just met this character. Animal Man, I really like and I've known for a long time. And
you
I
were
like,
upset. You were upset.
I was, but I they did it. So don't undo it a week later.
Well, luckily we'll find out in a week or so, or 2 weeks what this means.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a fun
show. Here's my question. This is what I'm trying to figure out from this book. When they – all right, so what happens is we find out that Booster Gold was Supernova, right?
Yes, right.
And Booster Gold is working with
Rip Hunter.
Rip Hunter, the time guy.
I have no idea who he is.
I'll tell you later. Okay. So they try to
look it up on Wikipedia.
They try to capture Skeets, the evil robot football, in a Phantom Zone magnet of some sort.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it looked like to me maybe they released people in the Phantom Zone.
No, apparently Skeets absorbed the Phantom Zone.
But it's not really Skeets.
Who is it?
That's what they said in this.
Oh, it's not?
No, they said that's why we knew it wasn't really Skeets, because he would have picked up on something.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Booster says it. And if you were really yourself, Skeets, you'd be having a field day with that statement.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm just trying to figure out what the 52 are. I thought maybe it was 52 people from the Phantom Zone got released.
Yeah, it looked like he absorbed the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
In general, which is impressive.
Interesting.
Did you guys notice in this that and I'll pick on this art too, just to be fun, that whoever it was that drew Ollie Queen made him look like a woman dressed up as a man?
Like a drag queen?
Yeah, look at the facial hair.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Hello, I'm Ollie Queen.
Anyway, it was good. I liked it. I'm okay with it.
It was a bit of the Animal Man thing.
The Animal Man, like they actually like emotionally affected me last time. And just so
and
quickly yank it away.
Yeah. So,
Bad.
Did Green Lantern let you down?
Green Lantern ruled.
Really? So DC Green Lantern book ruled.
And I've heard that across the board this week.
Yeah, it was good.
Green Lantern featured the guest appearance of the new Justice League, and that was more fun than all of Justice League issues put together. This was a fun... This is how you write the Justice League.
Yep.
It's big action, and within the big action, pockets of kick-ass characterization.
Yep.
That is how you do it. Get Brad Meltzer off with Jeff Johns on Justice League. It was great. It was really, really good. This has been a really fun. I wish this book doesn't come out very often.
Now I've been reading this I've never stopped reading Green Lantern for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, that's a long time. Anyway, and it specifically within the Hal Jordan Rebirth type thing, I feel as if I should have a lot more sympathy for this cowgirl.
Well, she's never... I don't know anything about her.
I don't... has she been in it more? Did I not notice the pages she was in previous issues? I know she's been in... I know they were captured and they were POWs type thing, but I feel as if, like, it's assuming a level of sympathy for a character that I don't feel has been established yet. That was my only gripe.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know? I don't... That part of the storyline is, to me, only serves to fulfill the emotions and how that we care about. The rest is, like, who cares? The Shark Man made an appearance. I bet you liked.
Did he?
Yeah, you didn't see that.
Where's the Shark Man?
He's in the prison. That Josh. The storyline is that Abin Sur's son is out to get Hal because he wanted the ring.
Has Abin Sur, his son, ever been a Green Lantern?
I see the Shark Man.
I guess not.
He's in a Green Lantern outfit.
That sounds like a pretty good way to go. Promise.
Yeah.
He's concocted all these scenarios to get Hal Jordan. Nothing's working. He got all these bounty hunters going after him. Nothing's working.
Did you know that Hal Jordan had a secret prison on the Air Force Base?
No.
That's what happened.
No, can I go if I haven't been reading this, can I go pick that up, that issue?
Yeah.
I think you could.
I almost did because I heard you say that you wanted to talk about that on this week. You were like, well, I want to talk about Green Lantern. And I was like, well, maybe I should get it. But then I got there and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it because it was awful or because it was really good.
No, it was really, really good.
For some reason, I couldn't call you.
I'm on the phone.
You know what people don't understand is that neither of them will talk to me when we're not recording the show. I'd be like, hey, guys. And they'd be like, don't answer.
Just take a lot of energy. Him.
Send a voicemail.
The only things that bother me are I really don't like the fact that Alan Scott's got his eye back. And he's in this issue a lot. I like the fact that he lost an eye. It's kind of a cool.
Did they give it back to him? Does now he have
it? He doesn't have an eye patch anymore.
How did he get the eye back?
Well, that's my question.
Yeah.
And it feels like this book never comes out.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I think it has only been 7 issues since the One Year Later.
I don't know. I'm not counting.
8, I think.
All right, well, anyway, this was really good. This was a great Justice League appearance. This is actually making me like the Justice League.
More than the Justice League.
You really like the Justice League.
Yes, as a concept, not as a book.
Right. You don't like the current incarnation of them in their own title.
Not at all.
So was I the only one who still bought the Spirit?
No.
This week? No, okay, wow, really?
This was my pick of the week.
Was it?
Yeah, and after being sort of lukewarm on the last one, I think I've come around to the party.
Nice.
Like, I'm like, okay, I get it now.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was great.
Yeah.
I
love the Spirit. I've never read him before.
No, yeah. I mean, can I just, like, I want to get to this in a second, but I finished reading New Frontier sort of for the first time all the way through last week, and I got it. You know what I mean?
Like,
I'd heard a lot about him, and I was like, oh, I get it. Like, it clicked for me, and so... Yeah. Somehow that helped me understand and like this work a little better, I think. It sort of gave me more context and where his work's coming from. And I guess you shouldn't have to have that, but whatever, it helped me. This guy, the Darwin Cook, we'll call him, he is one hell of a storyteller.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he can fucking tell a story. I mean,
well, like the
writing, the art, everything tells a story. There's nothing extraneous.
Well, you know what I just thought was one really nice thing? That there's a lot of sort of unwritten rules when you're telling a story. If you're a writer, you're doing, you know, even like little sketches or things like that. Now, at the very beginning of the book, I don't even know his name, the Spirit. What's his real name?
It's like something old school.
Whatever. He's in the back of he's been picked up by Short Round.
His name is Denny Colt.
Denny Colt. Yeah. He's been picked up by Short Round or whoever his young assistant is. And he's like... And basically he says, if I show up in the costume, that usually ends up with me out back getting beaten by a gang of stupid doormen. And when you say that...
Getting beaten stupid by a bunch of
doormen the size of beer trucks.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you say something like that, that usually means in a story that you have to show it later. Now, people who are reading it don't have to know that, but it's one of those storyteller things that I picked up on. And like, he comes through, and he does show that exact same thing happening later. Because if you say something might happen, then it has to happen. It's just and he does little things like that, and he does it in such this remarkably clean, basic way. There's nothing extraneous about this book.
Yeah, no, it's great. I it was awesome. Mm-hmm.
And it's also it's deep. I mean, the whole thing, the idea of this woman whose life was ruined by this guy taking all these years to exact revenge on him.
The other thing is like he also. We're not familiar with these characters or
no,
this
not
world at all.
The...
But immediately you get a sense right from the beginning that there is some sort of deep history between the Spirit and this girl Pagel or whatever.
Pagel, you definitely get a connection.
And he did that so elegantly.
Yeah.
Like without like going earlier the year, you know, like there was no explanation. It was just inferred.
There's nothing heavy-handed like I'm pissed off still because you. Did this to me. You could tell from the interaction.
And he does it with so little. Like, he works so economically in that way. Yeah, I'm really impressed by it, and more so as I go on through it.
Go back and read the first issue, then.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't need to.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Awesome. Well, so you read New Frontier. What did you think of that?
Dude.
Yeah? So you got the Absolute Edition.
I borrowed Connor's.
Okay.
But I'm now, like, wishing I had the money left over to buy a copy for myself. It was so good. I mean, in just every way. I like when I first started reading it. I was.
Let's backtrack to when it came out.
Well, when it came out,
I had written this.
It wasn't because you know what? It's funny.
Too much money.
I was probably cranky or broke.
I don't
or whatever
care.
At the time. Yeah. No, the issues were like $6-7 a piece.
They were totally worth it.
They were fat. They were totally worth it.
Yeah, they were
thick. But whatever at the reason at the time, and I wasn't getting it. And you know what? I think it read better for me. It read better as one whole piece. But
well, everything reads better one whole piece.
Sometimes I like some things. I really like reading in issues. I like reading Why the Last Man in issues. By the way, you two didn't get to read this week's, but I wish you did because we could talk about it.
Oh well. Oh well.
It was like a fill-in kind of thing. Anyway,
I'll get to it in the trade.
I know. But you'll stick out because you'll be like, what the hell's this?
Okay.
Anyway, but something major happened. Anyway, sorry for you people who want to talk about that book. We can't.
We're acknowledging that something major happened, though.
Yeah. The thing that New Frontier did really well that was interesting to me, he sort of does it in The Spirit as well, but The Spirit takes place now, whereas New Frontier took place in the late 50s, early 60s, and it felt...
I don't get the sense that The Spirit takes place now.
The Spirit takes place a little now and then.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Batman animated series where it's amalgam of now and...
I mean, because the kid driving had iPod headphones.
Yeah,
and
it definitely has...
The first
they
issue,
have modern technology.
Right, but it's that middle world that, you know, it's old school and modern.
Well, the
New Frontier squarely the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't done in a hokey way.
No.
It was just...
I don't know why you think it would be hokey.
I didn't. But a lot of times...
It's not a comic from the 50s. It's a comic about the 50s.
Right, but
it's
a lot of times when they go back to do that, they do it kind of hokey. And I really loved
That's your assumption.
Interaction in Indochina with Superman and Wonder Woman and that stuff. And there was just so many layers to that story. And more than anything... That book is the best Hal Jordan that I have seen.
Forever.
Yeah.
Maybe ever.
Really. Yeah. I don't think I've seen... And they don't get Hal Jordan now, and they, like if he should be writing it. He should take over the regular book.
Yeah, even as good as Geoff Johns is, he still doesn't get Green Lantern. I mean, I like
issue. Kind of like how Bendis doesn't get Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like that issue... overall, but ultimately the weak part of that comic is Green Lantern, which is the name of the book, but Darwin Cook gets Green Lantern.
I mean, he's got a very specific personality and just it's the same thing that
not just Green Lantern, Hal Jordan as a person.
Yeah definitely. I enjoyed all the parts of it, and then I was reading, you know, I'm getting to the end and I understood the meaning of what the title was and it just had that big huge epic feel like things are supposed to have, and that's really without using most of the the big guns. Superman and Batman weren't heavily featured in it.
Yeah.
There's other characters.
Well, that was a good use of Batman.
You know what's also fantastic? A character that is often also overlooked, John Jones.
Martian
Manhunter.
That was done really well.
Oh,
yeah.
What a great origin version of him.
Yeah.
Him sitting there watching TV, changing into like how he learned humanity. It's great.
Very good. It's a great piece. I mean, again, another absolute knocked it out of the park. Awesome.
Is there a non-absolute version of that? Because, like...
I don't know why you'd want it.
I know, but if somebody doesn't have an...
There has to be. There has to be a trade.
Yeah, of course there is. I think there's actually two trades of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
It's two-part... It's a part one, part trade one, trade two of it.
If you're out there and you've ever wondered, about the DC universe and...
Yeah, if you're one of those guys who don't really read DC or Marvel guy and you want... an overview, but you want a really good book that
a
you can read and not have to know anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Frontier is it.
It's a really great, and it feels like the DC universe, but in a really good way.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect
sense. That's a lot of praise.
No, I have an idea about it that I want to run by you guys that I was thinking about when Josh gave it back to me. I was able to print it because he actually borrowed it while I was in the middle of reading it.
I wouldn't have done that.
I have to do it for another reason I can't get into here.
Okay.
I think the DC universe is much more malleable towards setting it in other eras. Like these characters work perfectly in the 50s and 60s. They work perfectly now.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Marvel might not work as well. And I don't know why that is.
I don't argue
doesn't
that.
Doesn't work as well now?
No, I don't think you could take Marvel and set them in the same kind of
Marvel's been more true to the time period that the books come out, and they're less timeless.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Which is funny because they've existed for 40 years, but I think...
Right, but the thing is, you could do a version of the Fantastic Four now, and you could do a version of Fantastic Four back in the 60s. That makes sense because those characters have existed, but you can't really take Cable and put him in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, no, because Cable is a 90s character. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, you couldn't put Darkhawk in the 50s. You
right.
know?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And, you know, it's funny.
Seriously, a Darkhawk in the 50s? That'd be really cool. That's a premise.
That's a pitch.
You can reach us at contact@ifanboy.com.
But I think that the DC, for some reason, the DCU has more of a mythological feel, I guess, where you can sort of put them in any time frame and the characters still all work.
And I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's just the difference. I mean, they're more timeless, and whereas, but it's not a value judgment. I just thought of that while I was reading it.
Yeah, interesting.
It's true. I I'll go with that. I will subscribe to that.
So in a rare case, we all agree on DC: The New Frontier as a must-have.
Quite good.
So. Yeah, very good. Whew. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Josh.
I very much did. I really recommend it.
Can we retape the first video show?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of that, so it was a good week of books. So, and you go ahead over to ifanboy.com. You can read the review of Ultimate X-Men and talk about what books you enjoyed. But for those of you who might have noticed, we had a little bit of an announcement this week.
What was that?
Yes, we teased it last week on the last show.
So this week, on this past Wednesday, we released the first episode of iFanboy, the video podcast, which for some reason we thought, hey, we've got faces for podcasting, so let's do a video so you can see us.
Speak for yourself.
I've got nothing but free time.
Exactly. So we partnered up with our friends over at Revision 3, who are great kind of content network. They do the widely popular Dignation podcast that a lot of you might listen to. And so we're going to be releasing a new show every Wednesday. If you can subscribe to it in iTunes, that's where you can download the iPod-friendly format. But if your taste is not low-res, smaller size, QuickTime...
We recommend you go to Revision 3 and get the high-res QuickTime.
Yeah.
Or...
So go to revision3.com/ifanboy and you can get high-res QuickTime, high-res Windows Media, high-res Xvid, high-res, so they do Theora, they do so many different video formats.
You
so
download
pretty
directly,
much,
you can BitTorrent it, you can...
Yeah, exactly.
Any
so
way you want it.
Right.
And we need to make an important point here, which email has come in about it. You don't need a video iPod to watch a video podcast.
You can watch it on your computer, correct.
Or...
And if you don't want to... download it, you can just watch it in the Flash player that we'll post on ifanboy.com.
Not the best quality of it, but it'll get the job done. I think two-thirds of us don't have video iPods, right?
Right. Correct. And two-thirds of us don't have Xbox 360s, do they?
No, but that's the other thing. I downloaded the high-res Windows Media version, and I put it on the big TV through the Xbox. It looks great.
Yep. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So that's enough that you can watch it on your TV. God knows why you'd want to do that.
In a month from now, when you all buy Apple TVs and you hook that up to your TV, you can stream the podcast from iTunes to your TV via an Apple TV. So it's many different ways to watch it. So
we should shoot
the first episode. Yeah,
we should shoot in the high def then.
No high def.
You sure?
No, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. So
lots of close-ups.
So look out on Wednesdays for the new episodes of the iFanboy video podcast. And this Wednesday,
which is completely different, we should mention, than the audio show. It's not like Dignation, which is a video version of the audio podcast. It is different shows.
It's two different
pieces.
We're still talking about
more content.
Yep, exactly.
As we see them.
And the cool thing, because a lot of you said that you enjoy this audio podcast, you listen to it in a commute or in the car or wherever. But with video, we felt as if we could still talk about comics, but in a different way. And you get to see some of the things that you don't typically get to see in comics, kind of like this week's episode, which is coming out this Wednesday, which will be a surprise as to what it is, but we think you'll get a kick out of it. So.
And believe us when we say this, it gets better from there.
Yes, trust us.
I mean, we're proud of it and we like it.
A lot of people liked it, too.
By the way, just in case we didn't say it, all of you guys, especially from the site who knew us before, you were so supportive, and we really appreciate it, and we thank you for that. I mean, it just makes us feel really good. You know, you're out there saying great things about us and dispelling untrue rumors in certain instances. We're friends with Geekdrome.
Yeah,
we didn't replace anybody,
and we strongly recommend Geekscape.
Exactly,
Geekscape.net, which is Jonathan London's new show. And if you're not watching that, you're missing out on a great hour of podcast and fun. So
definitely.
But the point is, many people like the first episode. We kind of like the first episode, but we feel like subsequent episodes are much better. So
yeah. I mean, like, yeah. If you've ever listened to the first audio podcast that we did, it's terrible.
It's awful. I don't know. Jesus.
It was so bad.
So yeah, so it does get better. So
and
stay tuned.
Watch for next week.
Yep. So stay tuned every Wednesday at iFanboy.com or at Revision3.com.
Subscribe on iTunes, yes. And you'll get it downloaded.
Yes, and quickly, we do want to thank the folks at Revision 3. They worked really hard to help us launch, and they're super awesome. And if you don't watch their shows, you should.
Yeah,
so.
They have all sorts of different kinds of programming. They're going to have even more to fill your specific niche as
interest. Yeah,
That went along with that is that we have a forum over there.
Oh yes.
So if you've been on our site and you thought, I don't want just the threads that these losers post, because only me, Ron, and Connor can do it. You can go there and start your own thread.
Yes.
And find out what it's like to put up something you're interested in and have it just get ignored.
If a tree fell in the forest. All right, cool. So thank you again for enjoying the video, and please keep your comments coming. We definitely want to cater the show to you all. So, all right, cool. So that said, let's get some business out of the way. This episode is sponsored by GeekArmor.com, and at GeekArmor.com you can go get cool t-shirts for the geek in mind, like video games, science fiction, movie, TV t-shirts, all that sort of stuff. So head over to GeekArmor.com, and when you buy there, mention iFanboy. So, all right, cool.
So, listener email,
yes. Thank you, GeekArmor, for sticking with us. Okay, so our first email comes from Troy, who wanted to drop us a note because in the last podcast I mentioned that there are no good anthologies. And he says, well, in terms of Marvel Fanfare or DC Presents, that's true. But he wants to know if we picked up the Flight Anthologies book. He's got the second and third book, and he's waiting for another light week to pick up the first book. He says they're really beautiful. You get one or two big names in them, like Jeff Smith of Bone or Becky Cloonan of
Demo.
But most she's doing. Yeah, American Virgin.
Yes.
But most of them are unknowns, at least for him. Apparently they've come from the animation industry, and well, he gush on and on about them, but he leaves them to us to judge. So seriously, the highest possible recommendation.
This
I've never heard of this.
This is a book that I have meant to pick up many, many times.
Yeah.
If you like at the con this year, one of the in San Diego, 2007, 2006. Whoa, I'm sick. I don't like the show. All they do is blame their stupid things on being sick. Like, this was Flight 3 came out, and there was huge lines for it to get signed and everything. And this is – Flight's one of those books that I've heard a lot about, and everybody's – it's just beautiful, and it's – but it's an anthology. And for some reason, I have never been able to get over the hump to spend the money on it because
the money thing is a big problem. And the funny thing is that a lot of the times these expensive books, you end up liking it when you read them in trade.
No, that's all they are. There's trades.
Right. Well, right, no, I know, but I mean, but you seem to be hung up on the price thing.
No, it's not the price thing. It's that $20 could go to all sorts of things.
Right,
and
right,
is it going to go to a book that I might like or one that I will really enjoy?
It's too much of a risk.
It's not a risk. It's just it's not even money. It's like time almost. Like I could buy another book. It's going to take up room on my space on my shelf, and my own taste is I don't really like anthologies very much. I like narrative stories. I have a hard time getting through a thick anthology because there's
like
no thread to tie them together. Yeah.
I picked up that 24 anthology from Image.
Yeah.
It's all robot related stories. It was awesome. I loved it.
I read an anthology called the Prophecy Anthology, which was started as a way that they would get all these different small indie artists, and it was oversized. It was printed on beautiful paper. Really, all sorts of great work in there. But
how long did that last?
I read through the whole thing. It didn't last long at all.
No, I mean
I think just the one. Volume 1. And I did a review on it on the site. You can search for it in there somewhere. But like,
yeah, good luck with that.
Well, no, if you just put in Prophecy. you go to the Google search on our site and you put in Prophecy, you should be able to find it.
Okay.
I don't know. For me, like, I'm a novel reader, and I like serial television. Like, I like, you know, HBO shows which go from one week to the next and have a continuity. I'm guessing a lot of comic readers are like me and are not into anthologies.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be popular at one point.
I guess, yeah. But times have changed.
Modern readers.
You're not big for the slice of life. You're not big for the snapshot moment kind of brief
no,
story.
No, I'm big
kind of
into dog. Slice of life, but I like to see it continued.
Right.
Like,
I know.
Conversely, have you guys read Optic Nerve?
I've read a few issues here and there, yeah.
Exactly. You've read a few issues here and there.
Just
because
it never comes out.
I mean, right, but like a few years ago I went and I bought like all of them because you know they're all still on sale at different conventions. And I read like five or six of them. And they're just these little short vignettes, but there's no unifying theme to make me go from one thing to the next.
Yeah, that's
how do you feel about the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
I don't for some reason I can't sit down and watch a bunch of them in a row.
I think they're good.
But I get much more satisfaction about watching several episodes of something like
you don't like you. I mean, this is. I mean, we've knocked around this a couple of times now. I mean, like you know, like you. We talked about it on the year end show. I mean, like for the same reason why I like The Sopranos, you don't like it because you know because sometimes it's just slice of life moments in their life and it's not actually continuing the story or continuing the narrative all the time.
No. That's not correct. I think.
That was the discussion.
No, but they're continuing.
That was exactly it.
I think The Sopranos wasn't as good this year. But
But every now and then they'll just show a brief snapshot of one particular sub-character's story and never pick up on it again.
Well, that's because they drop storylines. That's not the same thing.
Well, no, but I think sometimes they're just showing slices of life in that lifestyle.
I don't know. I think that narratively sometimes those slices of life things have to contribute to the greater narrative in either terms of character or terms of plot.
You need structure. You need structure and progression.
I need to be working towards something usually.
Yeah, right. And I happen to enjoy no structure and sometimes not working towards something. I mean, kind of like a more postmodern kind of
which is odd because in real life we're the exact opposite.
Yeah, which is funny. It's funny how that works out. So anyway. Okay. All right, cool. So I'm going to look out for Flight now because I'm peaked.
It's supposed to be beautiful. All three volumes.
I'm gonna check it out. So all right, cool. Thank you for that, Troy. We really appreciate it. Our next email comes from Paul, and he has a request for Josh.
He would like me to read it with a thick Boston accent.
That was in parentheses.
All right. I don't know if I do Boston very well. I do Maine, but most of you probably don't know the difference.
Do sick Boston.
Hold on there, Paul. All right.
Tommy.
He does not address it to Tommy, so I will not. With the recent death of Animal Man, what is your opinion on the growing thought that the DC editorial staff has something against the JLI Ligas? Let me try that again.
Just go from there.
Do you think the DC editorial staff has something against the JLI era Ligas? I grew up reading Giffen's Justice League and loved them. In the last few years, we've watched almost anyone contacted to that era be broken in some manner or other. I would love to hear you guys' opinion on this.
Tommy.
From Paul.
Paulie.
Well, Animal Man's not dead anymore.
Yeah, but right. They put him through some shit.
The thing is that Giffen's been involved in a lot of the breaking down of
those
characters.
Giffen is doing this.
Yeah, I know, so I think it's okay.
We've heard this theory a lot, and the problem is no one understands Giffen's deep in this in 52.
Yeah, he loves it.
Giffen, he was responsible for the Blue Beetle thing too, wasn't he?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he wrote the first couple issues of Blue Beetle. So we're fine with it.
One of my all-time favorite runs of any comic. But I think this is a little bit too paranoid.
Guy Gardner, nothing's happening to him.
Exactly. In fact, he's gotten better. He was worse in the 90s, and they fixed him. They made him more like the character in the Giffen run.
Fires in Checkmate, she's more badass. I mean, Booster and Beetle and Maxwell Lord and Animal Man.
Booster's back.
But the thing is, Animal Man appeared briefly in the JLI, but he's not like a JLI leaguer.
Right.
Animal Man has had a long history. Yeah. Just because he died doesn't. I mean, it's not like they killed off Ice. Well, Ice already died, but
right.
I believe this letter was written prematurely.
Yeah, probably. Yes. So, all right.
Well, that's why I think it's a paranoid.
Our last email comes from Matthew, who has a very simple question, which is, "What is the one regular title that we can't get rid of every month, no matter what happens in comics today?" Around the table, Josh, the one comic you buy, no matter what.
There is none for Josh.
I don't think there is.
Poor choice to start with. Connor.
Detective Comics.
Okay. Ron. Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I have any like that. I don't. There's nothing I won't buy if it doesn't
get bad. You definitely don't.
There have been things that I wouldn't stop. Nah, not even that.
Try being friends with this guy, people. He'll drop you like a hat.
Don't piss me off. I break up with them all the time. That's it. I slam the door and run out.
Yeah. So, all right.
Mine is a combo between Detective and Batman, although Detective would win out in the end if it was only.
And mine's a combo of X-Men and Adjective List, but I'd get Uncanny. So
I was gonna say there's some that like I invested a lot of time in, but eventually stopped. Like I stopped 100 Bullets after like 60.
No, you don't have one. You don't have one.
You lose. So all right, if you have an email, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Let's move on to the voicemail. Our first one confused the hell out of us.
Hey, this This is Francis at Florence City Board of Education. I left a call for service before we went on Christmas vacation on the 21st. I talked to someone yesterday, and they were supposed to come. Well, they were supposed to be here on Monday. They didn't come yesterday. I need to hear from you because we need our machine because we're running three machines, and this one that you have in here, it doesn't work. And if it can't be fixed, we're going to have to get another service. Thank you, and have a good day.
All right, we'll be right out there.
Like, did she not listen to the outgoing message?
It does say something, right?
It says a lot, actually, about
this. It's a long outgoing message.
And so, like, did she mean to call 1-800-FANBOYS? And I want to know what kind of machine needs to be fixed.
Although that makes sense. If she didn't mean to call 1-800-FANBOYS, it'd be a machine involved.
1-800-FANBOYS is a gay porn line. We've never just come out and
subtle.
Said it.
Subtle.
We're always like, whoa, it's this, and we lead people to have to call it.
When Josh gets doped up on cough medicine, he becomes brutally honest.
I just say everything. I never liked you, and your father doesn't love you.
Mustache too big for face.
There's no filter. So Francis, we hope you got your machine fixed.
It would be funny if she was a listener. I called the wrong show. Shit.
I feel bad for her.
Our next email, our next voicemail's got a question for us.
Hey, iFanboy, it's Chris from Long Island, and I had a question about the Avengers and JLA. I know everything after New Avengers and JLA. I want to know when JLA became JLA. So I want to know what was the important stories in Avengers history or JLA history. Thanks.
That's a tall order.
I think it's a good question, though. I think we forget. Sometimes we forget about that.
Can you briefly sum up British history for me?
No. But okay, if you want to get into, I can't speak to JLA, and I'll give that to Connor. But if you want to get into new Avengers from a historical standpoint, I mean, Kree-Skrull War, the Korvac Quest. What was the other one I'm thinking of?
Well, anything before Avengers. I mean, New Avengers is a lot.
Well, right, no, but I mean,
the whole
I think
George Perez, Kurt Busiek stuff.
Well, yeah, also
you know,
that,
Ultron
too.
Ultron storyline.
Right, yeah, anything by written by Kurt Busiek in the late 90s, early 2000s was awesome. But even going back into the 60s and 70s, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that kind
of Captain America.
It gets forgotten, yeah.
There's 300 or 400 issues of comic books there.
Right, there's lots of good.
And then tie-ins.
So what about JLA?
Well, there's about as many JLA comics.
You know what?
What is the standout story? Like, I want to get into JLA. What do I need to read from
the
historical?
You know, there's one great thing that if you want to know the beginning is if you get Mark Waid's JLA Year One.
JLA Year One,
which
yep.
Was, a mini that you can get the trade paperback of, and that is fantastic. That was actually one of the very first things I read coming back into comics after being out for probably 5-10 years, something like that.
Yeah. Would you say the Giffen run?
Yes, totally. The Giffen, the first
from
60
the 80s?
Issues, one yep. through 60 Jesus. Of
Justice League, A New Beginning. That's what the trade is called.
Yeah, but that's the first part. But that's I think that's the only part that's actually in trade. The rest is all in issues. But the first 60 issues are really, really good.
Yep. And then Grant Morrison's JLA.
The Grant Morrison JLA series from the 90s.
Is the shit.
The problem with the JLA is that any big JLA story tends to encompass the entire universe, because it's basically all the characters. So, like, the Legends story coming out of Crisis on Infinite Earths is a great miniseries. Actually very similar to Civil War, now that I think about it. Much better than Civil War. I mean, JLA is difficult.
Yeah.
Because it splits up. There's lots of books. But...
And plus, early in the 60s, 70s, it wasn't as very event, you know, kind of huge story.
No, yeah.
Kind of focused. Yeah. It was more hopeful.
I don't think you're going to like the storytelling that's better anyway.
Starro.
No.
So, I love that cover when they're all fighting Starro, that silver.
Well, that happens in JLA Year One.
Right, yeah. Oh, good point. I forgot about
that. That's a really, really good place to start.
That's a good one. Modern telling of the original Justice League.
And Mark Waid knows his stuff, and it doesn't feel antiquated, but it still has enough history in it. That's a really good one.
The original retcon Justice League.
We were talking about New Frontier earlier. It's not necessarily the Justice League, but it's sort of the pre-formation of it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So...
I don't know if you've Ron. Have you ever read Legends?
No, I never have.
It was the bridge between Crisis that led into the Giffen Justice League.
Oh, really? Do you have it?
It's the formation. I have the issues.
Okay, I should borrow that.
The formation of the Giffen Justice League.
Cool. All right. Our last voicemail's got a lot on its chest.
Hey guys, this is Derek, first time caller. I just want to say, love the show, and this Justice episode of Smallville was awesome. silly. Best episode ever needs to be a spinoff. Had to say that. Two, the Civil War has ruined me for Marvel. This crossover is screwed up. These writers and artists, are they even talking to each other? Is anybody communicating over at Marvel? I have no idea. Three, Darkhawk, one of the greatest characters ever, needs to come back. Four, Speedball was a great character. The New Warriors was a great comic. Marvel screwed the pooch on this one. Derek from Philly signing off. Holla at your boy.
Holla.
Like the bread?
All right, one at a time.
You know
Smallville.
You know what? You get one topic per voicemail. Like this Daryl thing is not catching on. And by the way.
Oh, by the way.
We all love Daryl, and we all love his reports, but nobody can replace him.
We got a lot of imitation voicemails. Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lot of streets being stalked currently.
Yes, it seems we have the entire country covered with stalkers. It's kind of scary. But anyway, so Derek's questions. Smallville Justice episode.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so good. A spinoff would be cool. I don't know how long it could last, but it would be fun. Yeah.
If you want to see more about it, go to ifanboy.com. We had a long discussion about Smallville.
Very cool. Loved it, though. Loved it. Has Civil War ruined Marvel? Did they screw the pooch?
Yes.
They're getting there. I've never seen something start out with so much
potential.
Yeah. Positivity. People were like, great, this is awesome. And everyone was like, this is a crossover event that doesn't suck. And it ended up sucking for completely new reasons.
In many ways, it's a trailblazer.
I like sick Josh. all right, Darkhawk rules. No argument there. And Speedball ruled, and New Warriors
is lame.
Speedball, I like Speedball, and I love the new. I have a little place in my heart for the New Warriors.
I thought Speedball was kind of lame until he became Penance.
And he became lame in all new ways.
I mean, like Penance makes Speedball look like Steve McQueen. I mean, like, wow, how cool is that?
Can he even see out of that mask?
No, there's needles in his eyes and testicles. I don't know. It's stupid.
All right. So if you want to call us and leave a voicemail.
Dumb idea.
You can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. And don't forget, you can also email contact@ifanboy.com. We love to get your letters, and we love to get your calls. And also, your letters and calls do apply to the video show. So if you have questions you want us to read on the video show, let us know.
Send us a videogram if you want.
Yeah.
No promises about that.
Yeah, none. So, all right, we're running long, so we should probably wrap this up. So don't forget to head over to ifanboy.com, check out the in-depth comic book discussion we have over there. We're talking comics every day, every hour.
That's not a good promise.
Yeah.
Every hour of every day?
Well, close to.
Well.
Feels like it lately.
Yeah,
go sleep.
Yeah, so.
Don't forget to go to frapper.com/ifanboy. Put your map pin in the Frapper map. Represent where you are and say hi.
Yep. You can go to any of the various spaces at myspace.com/ifanboy or comicspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend. I'm not even being facetious about it anymore. Go there and be our friend. It makes us feel good. And as you can tell, I don't feel good right now.
Exactly. We need all the help we can get.
You can be our personal friends too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we're friends with the iFanboy account. You can be friends with us personally, which would be nice. You can also go to dig.com and go to the podcast section if you're a Dig member, and you can vote for podcasts, and we'd love to get your votes there, and you can also vote for the new video podcast there as well.
I don't know if you've noticed, but that might help us out.
Right, exactly. And be sure to check out ifanboy.com or revision3.com/ifanboy for the video podcast. And go into iTunes and subscribe to the video podcast and leave some comments about it. We'd love to hear what you think. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you want to wait a little, watch next week's too and just see, you know, maybe it wasn't a fluke.
Exactly.
Go for that. But there's going to be one coming at you every week for the
– Until we die.
Until we're driven into our gnarly grave.
Not far from now.
So, and if you want to help out with our medical bills, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations and help us out. So
that's it for the show, boys.
I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I hope I'm better next week.
So do I. Damn you, Connor.
I'm sorry.